today on Life Talk.
The fullest manifestation of God's love and Jesus' love is when Jesus died on the cross. Listen, the cross is the greatest manifestation of the love of God. Remember, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
One day, Jesus told his disciples, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Of course, he was anticipating his own death on the cross, where he would literally give up his life for our salvation. But Jesus went even further than his own original statement, where he spoke of someone giving up their life for a friend. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, God haters and God rejectors, while we wallowed in sin and relished iniquity, even then Jesus gave his life for us. Today, I want to talk to you about the greatest act of love ever done in the history of the world, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So grab your Bible, perk up, and follow along as I share part two of the message, Loved, from our powerful series, We Stand Redeemed. Now, I do want to talk to you today about God's love and really its supreme manifestation of the cross of Christ. Because there's no greater manifestation of God's love in the history of the world than the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people, especially if you get out there and talk with unchurched people, unchristian people, there's a lot of people that doubt the love of God. They have a problem with the concept that God's a God of love. If you talk to some atheists, and I have had the sheer joy of talking to some atheists online, and they're so polite and kind. But I love talking to them because I want to know how they're thinking. And I want to know how they came to their conclusions. But one thing you'll encounter when you talk to atheists every single time is they constantly crow that if there were a God of love, then how are there still so many wars and injustices in the world? Why all the suffering and tears? Why all the parentless children? Why all the orphans? Why all the death and dismay? Why would God allow so much pain and tragedy in his universe if he's a God of love? Why would God allow it? And not just atheists, but believers in God themselves also often pass through great tests of faith, don't we? And we go through a test of faith and experience trials that don't make sense. And it looks like God's nowhere around. Where was God when I went through that? While a loved one suffered? Or there was some great loss that occurred in my life and I can't come to terms with it. I can't come to terms with this loss. Where was God? When it feels like to them, their faith is not being rewarded. Or that their hopeful expectations of one thing or another are dashed on the rocks of disappointment. Where's God? I really thought he was going to do this or going to do that. I prayed that this would happen or that would happen. And sometimes nothing happens, or even more than that, the opposite happens. So the enemy attacks then. And even a believer is tempted to wonder, is God in charge? Really? Is he really in charge? Does he love me? Really love me? And if so, where is God in all this? And people think it all the time. If you want to know whether or not God's a God of love, don't focus on the injustices, the pain, the heartaches, the tragedies, and the darkness that so characterize this present world. Look at Jesus. If you want to know if God's a God of love, look at Jesus, because Jesus said, I reflect God. So let's look at him a minute. Let's look at Jesus a minute. The Jesus that rode into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. Let's look at him. When we look at him, do we see God's love in action? It says in the book of Acts, he went around doing good everywhere, doing good and healing all who were possessed by demons, for God was with him. If you wanted to look at a day in the life of Jesus, here's what you would find. He just went about everywhere doing good. He did good here. He did good there. He did good over yonder. He did good in this town and that town. Everywhere he went, he did good. And everywhere he went, he broke the power of Satan off of people's backs and set them free. Is that love? He set people free everywhere that he went, and he did good things for them, and he left a legacy of love in action everywhere he went. Love, he left a trail of love. Those who were oppressed and tormented by evil spirits, he released from bondage. More than once, he provided food for thousands of people who had followed him and were fainting in the wilderness. He said, I can't let them go home hungry. I love them. It says he looked at the crowds and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved by love, moved by compassion. And throughout his ministry, here's what I like about Jesus. Of course, I love everything about Jesus, but let me pull some things out. He showed great kindness. Thank God for it. To those who were held in low esteem, and that would have been me. What about you? Because I was just a long-haired, skinny hippie when Jesus saved me. I was held in low esteem. People on the margins of society, he loved them. Children, women, tax collectors, lepers. Nobody would touch a leper, but Jesus did. Samaritans, prostitutes, the poor, the powerless, the nobodies. He turned into somebodies. You know that little phrase, Jesus freak. Jesus doesn't turn people into freaks, and some of you are afraid of that. If I get saved, I'm going to become one of those Jesus freaks. No, let me tell you something. You already freaky. You just don't know it. But when God looks at you, you look a little bit freaky. But listen, he turns freaks into people. He gives you a human heart, a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart of joy, a heart of sanity. Often we're told that Jesus, that phrase, those three words, was moved with compassion, precipitating a miracle. His compassion greased the skids for miracles all the time. See the weeping mother in her own son's funeral procession, as she is approached by a compassionate Jesus who saw the funeral procession and walked right up to it. And he took the young man by the hand, touched him, raised him from the dead, and presented him back to his rejoicing mother. And when you watch that, you see a God of love. That's God's love manifested in the Son. See the terrified and shamed adulteress, caught in the very act, thrown at Jesus' feet. I've often wondered, where was the guy? They should have grabbed him too. But watch this, thrown at Jesus' feet, yet protected by him from a judgmental mob and forgiven of her sin. And there you have God's love. That woman was changed the rest of her life because Jesus, the Son of God, forgave her and loved her in the midst of her shame. The examples are endless. I could go example after example and reveal beyond dispute that the God who Jesus perfectly reflected is a God of love. He's not a God of anger. He's not a God of vengeance. He's not a God that's just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can step on you like a June bug. He's pulling for you. He wants you to make it. He loves you. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's for us. Yet while Jesus performed endless acts of love and compassion, John said, if we wrote everything down, the books would be endless of everything Jesus did. But the things he did in his ministry are not the fullest manifestation of God's love. The fullest manifestation of God's love and Jesus' love is when Jesus died on the cross. Listen, the cross is the greatest manifestation of the love of God. Remember, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. True story. There was once a bridge that crossed a large river. During most of the day, the bridge sat with its length running up and down the river, paralleled with the banks. Like the bridge would open up and parallel the bank so that ships could go past the bridge and keep on going in their journey. But then at a given time, several times a day, the bridge had a man who pulled a switch and the bridge would come together and lock together and a train would cross it. And when the train was done crossing, the bridge would open again so ships could go by. One evening, as the switchman was waiting for the last train of the day to come, he looked off into the distance through the dimming twilight and caught sight of the train lights. He stepped onto the control and waited till the train was within the right distance, and then he flipped the switch and connected the bridge. He turned the bridge into position, but to his horror, he found the locking control didn't work. And here's the deal. If the bridge was not securely locked in position, it would cause the train to jump the track and go crashing into the river. This was a passenger train with many, many passengers on, hundreds of people. So he hurried across the bridge, panicking, to the other side of the river where there was a lever switch he could hold to operate the lock manually. He would have to hold the lever back firmly as the train crossed. He could hear the rumble of the train coming. He took hold of the lever. He leaned backward to apply his weight to it, locking the bridge. Many lives depended on this man's strength to hold that lever down. Then coming across the bridge from the direction of his control shack, he heard a sound that made his blood run cold. "Daddy, where are you? Daddy, where are you?" His four-year-old son was crossing the bridge to look for him. His first impulse was to cry out to the child, "Run, run!" But the train was too close, and he knew that his tiny legs would never make it across the bridge in time. The man almost left the lever to snatch up his son and carry him to safety, but he realized, if I do that, I'll never get back to the lever in time, and hundreds of people will die. Either many people on the train must die, or his own son. He took a moment, made his decision, held the lever. His son perished so that hundreds could live. Now we hear that and we go, "Not me, dude. I'm leaving that lever." Listen, God did that. God did that. Hallelujah. It helps us to understand just a little bit better the feelings our Father in heaven must have experienced when he sacrificed his son to bridge the gap between us and eternal life. The little boy said, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The little boy couldn't find his daddy. His daddy's presence wasn't there. There was a moment on the cross when Jesus was separated from God the Father, and God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It could almost be read, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" And the good news for us is, as Jesus hung on the cross, God held onto the lever. It's no wonder that he caused the earth to tremble and the skies to darken when his son died. Heaven was weeping. God was weeping. It was a high price to pay for our low living.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, another reason that Jesus' death on the cross was such a stunning act of love, because it doesn't stop there. That's enough for me, but it doesn't stop there. Let me give you another reason. He gave his life for his enemies. Now, wait a minute. He gave his life for his enemies. The man who held onto the lever gave his son's life for strangers, but they weren't enemies. Jesus gave his life for enemies. Paul the Apostle really thought that through. That boggled him. Listen to what he said. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, here's his thinking. Now, most people, they wouldn't be willing to die for an upright person. They wouldn't be willing to die for an upright person. "Well, that's really a good man, but I'm not dying for him." Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Everybody say, that boggles the mind. Do you get it today, church? I'm trying to relay something to you about the power of God's love. It is unfathomable. You can't comprehend the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of the love of God. You can't comprehend it. Now, some of you are thinking, because I've talked to some of you, not you, don't think I'm looking at you, but I've talked to people a lot. I talk to people about Jesus all the time. And I want to know what they're thinking. When you come up against a self-righteous person, here's what you'll hear. But Jeff, you said he died for his enemies. I'm not God's enemies. I'm not God's enemy, nor have I ever been. I'm a good person. I've never got a traffic ticket. I'm a good neighbor, a good American, a good patriot. I believe in the Cowboys. I'm a good Texan. If you knew me, Jeff, you wouldn't say I was the enemy of God, but the Bible disagrees with you. We're all the enemies of God. We were all the enemies of God, the enemies, not apathetic, but the enemies. Let me show you. He made peace with everything. This is Paul. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Did I read that right? You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. See, we all had evil thoughts. We all had evil actions. We all broke God's word. We all broke God's law, and that made us God's enemy. We were against God, opposed to God. Just get into an elevator and talk about Jesus and see how many are for him. Walk into a room and just start talking about bragging on Jesus and see how many people want to brag on him with you, because they're enemies of God until they're saved. They're enemies by evil thoughts and evil actions. And then it goes on, good news. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Can we just thank God for that right now? He's brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Isn't that incredible? When you come to Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus covers you, you're no longer God's enemy. You're God's friend. Jesus said, you're my friend if you do what I command you to do. And he commanded us to come to him. So you can either be an enemy of God or a friend of Jesus. And you can stand before God and he looks at you justified, which means just as if you never did it. Justified, just as if you never did it. Pure, clean, forgiven, redeemed, purchased, heaven-bound. From lost to found, dead to life, hellbound to heavenbound. I know this is strong, but you know what? It was a strong thing that happened on that day when Jesus died on the cross. Because listen, the resurrection was God's validation of his lordship, but the cross was God's validation of his love. That's love. When we hated him, when we were strangers to him, he loved us enough to turn his son over to the cross for our sakes. I'm so thankful for that cross. Thank God for that precious cross. Reaching this way as if God is saying, come into my arms and let me hug you. Reaching up this way as if God is saying, when you let me hug you, I'm going to take you up into my presence. The cross speaks. It shouts. It is so powerful. Thank God for the cross. When I went to that cross as a 16-year-old boy sitting in juvenile detention center for sale of narcotics, I found that when I went to the cross, that kind of scared me at first, that God's arms wrapped around me this way. And when his arms wrapped around me in forgiveness, he took me right up and I experienced the peace of God. See, when you make peace with God, you experience the peace of God. And he wraps his arms around you and he takes you into the presence. So first, the greatest act of love in history was Jesus dying on the cross. No question about it. No love was ever more perfectly manifested than when Jesus went to the cross. And second, he died for his enemies. And the third thing that makes Jesus' death on the cross such an incredible display of love is, watch this now, it was completely voluntary. It was totally voluntary. No one made Jesus go to the cross. He did it of his own free will, as he himself said to his disciples. I want you to listen to his words, because he wanted us to understand, hey, I'm doing this because I love you. The Father loves me, he said, because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. Can I read that again? No one can take my life from me. Now read the next part with me out loud, everybody. I lay down my life voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. I lay it down voluntarily. You know, that's powerful because your life is everything. When your life is gone, everything's gone. And Jesus didn't just give of his time or his teaching or his miracles. Jesus gave his life voluntarily to his enemies. Now, let me tell you something. Somewhere back in the far reaches of past eternity, before the world began, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, had a council meeting. We could say they had a business meeting. And it was there. And I can't explain this, folks. It's a mind bender. But here's what happened. God said, I'm going to create man. He's going to fall. He's going to need a redeemer. I'm choosing you, God the Son, to be their Savior. Now, watch this. God the Son had to say, amen. Because that's the way God works. God speaks it. The Son amens it. The Spirit executes it. So God the Father said, they're going to need a Savior. He turned to God the Son and said, will you go? Listen to 1 Peter 1:20. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Wow. Think about that on the way home. God chose him as your ransom before the world ever began. God chose him as your ransom. And the Son said, amen. And on that sacred day when the Holy Spirit moved across the Virgin Mary, the Spirit executed the plan. God said, I choose you, God the Son. God the Son said, amen. The Holy Spirit executed it on that beautiful, powerful, one day in eternity time when the Spirit moved across Mary, and what was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, and the plan was brought to pass. God said it. The Son amended it. The Spirit executed it. Giving away your life is to give away everything. Yet Jesus gave his life on the cross. And can I just put it this way? That is industrial strength love on steroids. Amen? If you've been under the impression that Jesus was arrested and taken before Pilate against his will, that he was whipped and tortured and nailed to a cross because he could not escape because he was taken by man, don't you remember what Jesus said to Pilate? You can do nothing, nothing to me unless it was given to you by my Father. Nothing could be further from the truth that Jesus was just taken by men. Jesus was completely in control at every point. He made that clear when he was arrested. Listen to what he told his disciples. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? In the Garden of Gethsemane, O Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You, it's your will that I go. I'm amening it, and the Spirit's going to execute it. He stood up resolutely, went to his sleeping disciples and said, wake up, boys, the time has come. Here comes Judas, kisses him on the cheek. Ugh. You hadn't lived till you got a Judas kiss. Somebody you loved, somebody you poured into, somebody you carried along and taught. They turn around and they betray you with a kiss. Jesus looked at him and said, why are you here, friend? Jesus knew the Holy Ghost was executing God's plan. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. Now, that is love I cannot comprehend, but it's love that I gladly receive. Say with me, the greatest act of love in history was Jesus on the cross. He died for his enemies. He died voluntarily for us.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.